It's good to be able to gather again. If we haven't met yet, it'd be great to have some contact from you. But if we've met many times, you're very welcome to be here as well today. And today we're going to be finishing our series that we've called One, looking at Paul's fourth chapter of Ephesians and the first six verses, where Paul outlines a whole series of one statements that he writes to that church in Ephesus. But let me start with a question for you today. Does anybody know what we are living for? Now, it's a question that Freddie Mercury used in one of his songs when he was singing with Queen. And if you can send in some answers, that would be fantastic. Does anybody know what we're living for? It's that question, isn't it? You know, that comes in other guises. What is the meaning of life? I mean, Albert Einstein, he said this: the person who regards their life as meaningless is not merely unhappy, but hardly fit for life. There's purpose to life. And for many, and perhaps for you today, the whole meaning of life is a relationship with God. And I want to explore what that relationship could look like today. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 6, Paul writes, "There is one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." Now, I studied geography, A-level geography, amazingly, my best result, which was a surprise. And we did rivers, because that's what you do in geography. And I learnt, well, I knew it already really, that every river has a source. It has a starting point, doesn't it? A river doesn't suddenly just arrive in the middle of a city in full flow. You trace it back to the beginning of it. And every river in the whole world, no matter how mighty it is, how long it is, it all has a source. And that source, the source of that river, is a stream that comes from deep underground. And I think in this passage in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul is leading us back to the source of everything he has said in the previous five verses. That as we trace our way back to this verse 6, that he comes back to there being one God and Father of all. And all the other verses that have preceded it come out of this source, this beginning point of what we believe, this finding meaning and purpose for life. That to live a life that's worthy of the calling you've received, it's framed in a belief in one God who is over and through and in all. That God is at the beginning of every endeavour, every adventure, every moment, every step, you'll find God right at the beginning of it. Of course, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, the very beginning of the Bible, the writer says, "In the beginning, God." Before all things, before creating all things, before being the ruler of all things, before taking a clump of dirt and breathing life into it, before life itself, we find God. But who is he? And can I know him? If you're wondering where God is in the middle of this pandemic, or where God is because life is hurting for you right now, maybe you're facing job changes or financial pressures or relational challenges, well, this morning I want to invite you to walk back with me to the source of it all, to find God, to rediscover God, to affirm your relationship with God again, our Father. To find him for the first time, to give him a moment of your attention for him to speak to you today. Will you do that with me? Walk back with me to find one God. And to do that, I want to walk back a few thousand years to the Exodus story. The Exodus story that begins with God's name. And it's from there that we can trace Paul's words. There is one God and Father of all. One God. Now, back in the Exodus story, we find Moses. Moses, born a Hebrew, sent on his way in the river Nile, picked up by Pharaoh, brought up in Egypt with all the luxury and advantage of being in Pharaoh's palace, educated in Egyptian ways with a religion that was way different from his Jewish birth. And we read how Moses grew up to become a man, and then he kills an Egyptian and he runs away into the wilderness and becomes a shepherd. And meanwhile, the Israelite people are still in Egypt, groaning because they are slaves, and they cry out to God for help. And God hears, and he remembers the covenant he has made with them. And in Exodus 2, verse 25, you can read that God was concerned about them. And so begins the next part of Moses' life. If you've got your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Exodus chapter 3. It's just the second book of the Bible, so way at the beginning. Exodus 3 and verse 1, and we'll read these 10 verses. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that the bush was on fire, but it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why this bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. So what did Moses learn about God in that encounter? And what can we learn about God that will stand us in good stead for this particularly challenging time? Firstly, I think we can learn that God is closer than we think. He is over all. Now, theologically, we say that God is immanent. He is present among us. He's closer than we think. You know, whenever the Bible talks about wilderness, it always signifies a place of separation from God or struggle with God. The people of Israel wandering around in the wilderness, struggling to find God. Jesus praying moments before his arrest, struggling with all that was going to come. But it's often in that same wilderness that we can find God, and God will find us. Now, during this time of coronavirus, you may have spent time in the wilderness, questioning, wondering, feeling distant from God, or deliberately even running away to escape from God. But this is what we can know. God is never far away, even in the wilderness. Moses has probably seen many burning bushes during his time in the wilderness. It was a common sight, and under the burning sun, bushes would spontaneously combust. Perhaps God has already burnt a few and Moses has just walked on by. But this time, Moses stops long enough to notice that this one is not burning up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight. And it was the burning bush that became the ignition for the mission that God had for him. When God saw that he had gone over to look, when God had got Moses' attention in the wilderness, God called to him, Moses, Moses. It's such a beautiful moment that God already knows where Moses is, and he already knows Moses, even if Moses doesn't yet know God. Because let's not forget, Moses had grown up in Egypt. He probably knew a lot about many gods. Yet today, in that moment, something happens and he understands that God is closer. It awakens something in him that was probably there all the time, this search for meaning and purpose in life. See, God is looking for someone who will notice what is happening around them and who will go over and look. So much has been happening around us during these last 6 months. What have you noticed? Has God grabbed your attention? Have you realised that he is closer than you think? What is it he wants to ignite in you? I love that God doesn't condemn Moses for not noticing sooner that God knows his name. It's so good, he says it twice. I wonder if you've heard of the cocktail party effect. Apparently this has been studied, that our brains are wired in such a way that even in a very busy and noisy crowd, if someone calls our name, we will naturally tune into it, no matter what else is happening around us. And so here in the wilderness, deep in his own thoughts, looking after his father-in-law's sheep, with the distraction of the burning bush, Moses hears his name. And that's where God starts. He starts with our name. How much more close can he ever be than knowing our name and speaking it? He didn't start with what Moses had done wrong. He didn't start with the sin that Moses had committed, killing a person. He starts with who we are. And Moses takes off his sandals, because when you hear God call your name and you respond, "Here I am," that place becomes holy ground. It becomes a place where heaven meets earth, where we step into God's plans and purposes, and what we thought was impossible in our own strength becomes possible in God's presence. After all, Paul says, he is over all. Secondly, I think God is more powerful than we can imagine. Paul says he's through all. Theologically, we say he's omnipotent. As the conversation unfolds, Moses gets a bit nervous. Turn back to Exodus chapter 3, verse 11. "But Moses said to God, 'Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?' And God said, 'I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain.'" Have you ever started in that place? "I can't do it. I'm nobody. I haven't got the skills, the courage, the knowledge to do this, God. I've messed up. I've walked like an Egyptian. I've even killed an Egyptian. I'm a coward. I've run away into the wilderness to hide. God, do you think I can do it?" But you see, what God does is he lifts Moses from his past selfishness to where God wants him to start. "I will be with you." This is the amazing father image of God that Paul talks about, that Jesus constantly used in his teaching and in his praying. Our Father, Abba Father. In the garden, in his struggle, in the testing times, Jesus knew what he had to face, but he also knew that he wasn't going to be alone, and that God was more powerful than anyone could imagine. "For when I am weak, then I am strong." Now, you may not have had a great role model from your earthly father, but I want to assure you that your heavenly Father will never stop believing in you. He'll always stand on the touchline and cheer you on. He'll rush to pick you up when you fall. He'll carry you on his shoulders in victory and take you home. Paul, in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 10, and please have a look at this later, he says that we should praise the God and Father of Jesus, who has given us every blessing. And Paul goes on to say he chose us, he adopted us, he redeemed us, he forgives us, and he will bring unity to all things in heaven and earth under Christ. This glorious Father gives us a glorious inheritance, Paul says, for all his people. No matter what we know, there is more to discover. No matter our fears and our doubts, God says, "I'm going to be with you." He is more powerful than we can imagine. And Paul wants us to understand this, to turn the light on in our darkness, to see God and to experience him, because he is through all. And thirdly, God is beyond anything that you ask. Paul says he is in all. Theologically, he's transcendent. Exodus chapter 3, verse 13. Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites: 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation.'" See, Moses is still hesitant. He asks more from God, and God gives it to him. And God reveals himself as the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. But Moses says, "No, I want more than that. I know you're the God of the past, but I want to move into the future. I need a name. And God says, tell them, I am who I am. You may have a footnote in your Bible that says, I will be what I will be. One commentator has translated this as, I am who you will discover me to be. However you have known me in the past, there is still more to discover. Every day you can learn something more about who God is. For your experience, for every obstacle, for every challenge, for every decision, he is beyond anything you ask. That is his name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. This isn't a name to get stuck with, it's a name to start from. And you can speak his name into every situation you find yourself in, to every situation you are in right now. When you can't find a way forward, when you continue to make excuses and want more proof, what shall I say? There is one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. That's the one God and Father who has this one name, the name that is above every name. You know, Paul in Ephesians 4:6 has walked us back to the source of who we are in Jesus. He has left us in no doubt that we can be one because he is one, God and Father of all. And we can live a worthy life of this one calling that we've received from this one God. He is immanent. He is with us. He is omnipotent. He is all powerful. He is transcendent. He is beyond us, over all, through all, and in all. And today we can declare that for ourselves. You know, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, the Shema declares, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And to declare this today continues the struggle of the ages to reject the spirituality of our time and allow this truth to impact every aspect of our life. The Lord is one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who was and is to come. God of our fathers, I am who you will yet discover me to be, in all, through all. Will you see him? Will you move closer? Will you listen out because he's calling your name? He says it with love, not with condemnation. He invites you to take off your shoes and feel his presence and carry his name, the one name that transforms everything. He's at work. He's waiting. He's wondering if you will take his name and let it loose in your life today. Will you call on his name? Find forgiveness and freedom, not condemnation. Find meaning and purpose. Find a calling to live a life that pleases him. He's given us a name to speak. God, fill me today and walk with me. Let's pray together. Father God, too often I walk past you. But thank you that today you invite me to stop. Too often I rush on without you. But today you call me to wait. Too often I'm deaf to your voice. But today you call me by name. Too often I go my own way. But today I accept your call to follow. Thank you that you are my Father, over all, through all, and in all. That you have one name that is above every name. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us today. Do get in touch if we can help in any way. You can email us at inquiry@newcastlebaptist.org.uk. We'd love to help you take some next steps. God bless you. Have a fantastic rest of your day. And let's continue to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus.